¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
If you're getting a craving for food, your peak is at 3:42 p.m. That's when you're like most craving something you're not supposed
right?
to have. Yeah. They came out with a list of the 10 casual food places that men like best and the 10 that women prefer. For the most part, they're very similar. But top three, Applebee's, Texas Roadhouse, and Olive Garden. Number four being Chili's.
I don't know what's going on at Chili's. I mean, here's the thing. We frequent all those restaurants in my area. Our Roadhouse, we were really excited when it was going to open. And frankly, it's just not as good as the other ones that we were exposed to before in the area. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a Longhorn guy lately, if I'm going real classy, Anna.
Yeah.
But I tell you, for whatever reason, Alicia and I have been going to Chili's lately. And like the last three times we've been there, it was like a club inside. Like loud music, tons of energy, every table nearly full, all young people, Gen Z, teenagers and whatnot, to the point where Alicia and I, we were looking at each other, we're talking to each other, and we're like, what is happening here? Is tonight like a theme night? What did we miss?
I know exactly what's happening.
What's that?
So first of all, let's clarify. Chain restaurants can either be fantastic or they could be terrible, and it depends on each one and where it is. Because I have gone to the best Outbacks, and that Outback steak is delicious. The one...
You love that.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Stuff.
The one by my house, I can't go to. It's like inedible at this point. It used to be like you would go on a Friday night, you would wait an hour and a half for a table. That place is empty now. I don't know what they did, but it's gone downhill.
It is the most normal thing food-wise that I've ever seen you do, because Anna would be like, she could tell you the whole menu.
Oh, 100%.
The whole menu.
But the reason why I think a lot of people are going to chain restaurants is that there's like a sense of bringing back community.
Why are they going to Chili's?
Because,
young people.
Because it's fun and it's a place to hang out, but it's not the only place people are going to hang out. A lot of people don't drink anymore. A lot of the younger generation, they don't drink and party like it used to be. Millennials do. So what they do is they look for places that will bring them together without the overservance of alcohol. Now, we may know that a Chili's may have a delicious margarita.
I mean, they have that Presidente thing or
right.
whatever. It's like two barrels.
But it's like a fun food place to hang out, and it's casual. The other place that they're hanging out is churches. They've been going to mass. So there's all these churches around the country that have become so popular that young people have been lining up for like a half hour to 45 minutes before mass starts to get a seat. Afterwards, they have mixers in the basement. They go to mass and then they go downstairs into the basement and they meet each other.
I hope that they're learning only good things and that none of this is a cult. But do you think that they're bussing them over to Chili's after? Because I'm telling you, there was like not a table available and the music was loud.
Do you think that now, like, the cool thing to do is just to go to mass and then go eat at Chili's? Like, that's what you do now to meet people. It used to be Tinder. It used to be you go meet them at a bar, at a club. And now you go to mass and Chili's.
Honestly, if that's what was going on, it bodes better for the future than the hopes that I have. So.
Renegade and Golden Tempo are closing two. Here's Golden Tempo. Golden Tempo and Sheree Duvall make history in the Kentucky Derby.
It was exciting. Trending is powered by Progressive Commercial Insurance. It flexes this to fit your business's needs. From quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options, Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Raven, Golden Tempo came out of nowhere in the back on the outside. And I don't know if that's the right racing terminology to use because I don't really know anything about racing.
Yeah.
So that might not be right. But what he did is he came out of nowhere and he ran up on the side and he just floored it and he won.
He floored it. I mean, he's a horse.
Right.
So, yeah,
really
there's no gas pedal. But yeah, it was a come from behind victory there down to the wire.
Yeah.
Very exciting race, that's
Woo!
For sure.
Right. And what made it so exciting, that it was history making.
Your cousin, your aunt was there and she was the trainer?
The first female trainer to win the Kentucky Derby. 44-year-old Sheree Duvall conditioning Golden Tempo with a tremendous run down the stretch to win the Derby.
She was so excited, and the tears that were flowing from her and her family. How could you
and
not get
you.
Emotional?
And for you.
Oh, I couldn't. I could, you know, I was like.
I mean, you don't even know this person. Had you ever heard her name before the race?
I mean, I don't know anything about racing, period.
Right.
You know, like, that's it. Like,
right.
This is the only
but
time.
You're excited.
Like, the Triple Crown. Like,
but you're excited.
That's it. This is like the first one, and then there's a second one, and there's a third one. Like,
yeah.
That's basically how it works.
But you're excited.
I was super excited because she was so excited, and she was so emotional.
Honored that I get to be that person, and I hope this just paves the way for any other little girl with big dreams or woman with big dreams. I always thought that the sky was the limit. Now, really, it truly is the limit.
Hayden, my older daughter, asked me, she's like, why is she the first woman? And I'm like, men, Hayden.
Good question.
Because it's men. Men have dominated so many of the sports and so many of the industries, and that finally, like, women are having their chance to do it, too.
I mean, it's a lot of old money in that situation, a lot of tradition in that situation. Listen, I don't support horse racing in general. It's a wonderful event. It's fun to watch. I get the excitement around that and the other ones. On the other hand, it's very difficult and hard on animals, so that's the part that I would pull myself out of. But you know what? Hey, listen, that's great news.
Another boundary or barrier
that's broken is always good. Hard to believe that that barrier still stood after all this time.
Right,
so.
But that wasn't the only
crazy
thing.
Oh, what else happened?
The jockeys. Did you know about the jockeys?
What about the jockeys?
First of all, the jockeys have to be very small. And I see
them
get on
the... Well, we know that. Yeah, I mean, that's not a change.
They get like... It's like when they get on the horse, I'm looking at them, they're like folded like a pretzel.
Yeah.
Like the way that they...
Like a 110-pound guy.
They're so little.
120 pounds. Doesn't feel very healthy, but okay.
The horse that had the best odds to win, his name was Renegade. Do you know who was riding Renegade, the jockey?
I have no idea.
Golden Tempo's brother was on top. It was a brother.
Well, not the horse's brother, but the jockey's brother.
The jockey's brother.
Thank you.
So
right.
It was two brothers. They're 1 year apart. One is 32 years old. One is 33 years old. One was riding the number one horse to win. The other was running Golden Tempo, who did win. It came to the end, and he beat his brother to win, and he was the underdog.
So now you're a horse racing fan.
Look at
you're going to be going to every horse race from now on.
The big question I want to know immediately, always, is like, how much money do these people make? Right?
Yeah.
So you win $3.1 million if you have the winning horse.
Okay.
80% goes to the horse's owners. The trainer gets 10% and the jockey gets 10%. So they each get $310,000.
How much does the horse get?
The horse gets
nothing.
She definitely got a big kiss. I saw Cherie give that horse a big old kiss right on his snout.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the race, the running of the race.
Yes.
Did you order your jersey?
What jersey?
Right, exactly.
There's no jersey. Is there a jersey?
Order one for yourself
today. I'd like one if that's a thing. If you've ever fallen out of the back of a car, a van, or maybe a truck, don't worry. We have multiple people on the show that have advice on how to handle the situation.
I mean, I don't think that we're necessarily doing it well. I'm just saying, like, it's happened, right?
More than any other show in America. That's
well,
for sure.
That's probably accurate. Yes, it's
now,
probably accurate.
You may have forgotten or didn't hear, but producer Justin, we were in a St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yep.
And while we were in the parade, we were in the back of a pickup truck that was held up by PVC piping. And Justin, what happened?
A flimsy PVC piping, to be fair.
Correct.
I reached over in due diligence to give a high five to a fan attendant, and the PVC piping wasn't really in agreement with me. It didn't support me, and I just took a header off the side of the truck.
Right. Then came the ambulance and had to go to the emergency room and knocked you out. And then, Raven, what happened to you this past week?
Well, I was loading up for my camping trip this past weekend in a little bit of a rush, and I was taking things out of the cargo van at my storage unit. And when I went to do so, there's a ramp there. And so I was removing this light box that was like, I don't know, it weighs like, I don't know, 150 pounds, and it's large. And so I went to go step off the back of the ramp. The ramp dislodged itself from the van.
Mm.
And then I rolled off the back of the van and hit my head not only on the side of the garage, but then on the concrete after, and I lay there for a moment.
You just laid there, just laid on the concrete.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I've learned is, like, you know, when you fall and it hurts, like, what's your rush? Why are you going to get up, right? Why are you going to roll over? Because everybody around you has got to react and be like, oh, are you all right? And so I've got to get up immediately and show you guys that I'm all right. Here's the advantage. Completely by myself.
Good.
The only person that saw this was probably the guy in the attendant's office, and he could be watching on the camera there.
Oh, I hope there's
and so
a camera.
I laid there for
I
a
hope
moment.
There's a camera.
And then as things got fuzzy or whatever for a moment, then I reminded myself that if you have a concussion, you're not supposed to go to bed. So then I got up at that point and continued on with my day.
Well, speaking of which, Justin, having gone through this, we thought we would have him give you advice, Raven, as somebody who professionally, both of you, fall out of vehicles.
Yeah. First of all, first correction, it's not an advantage that you were were there by yourself. That's like number one. Like use the buddy system. You got to have somebody with you at all times, ideally.
In so your life.
If something happens like that, then they can like, you know.
Attach to me.
Yeah. Just check on you. Make sure that that you're okay.
You know, they call that person a caretaker. I'm not, you know, or a bodyguard if you have somebody there all the time.
Yeah. Ideally, if someone with you actually knows some sort of like first aid or anything like that.
Oh my gosh. So if I fell off the back of the van, somebody's immediately going to start giving me like some sort of garage story MRI on the side there. Forget that.
It just makes sure. If I would have laughed or if I just would have been like, oh, my God.
Oh, you would have laughed.
I mean, I don't know.
Then maybe tears. I don't know.
I freaked out when Justin fell.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
But a big thing to remember, too, is if you feel yourself going over, you just want to go limp. You don't want to, like, you know, rigid yourself up and force yourself because that's the recipe for disaster.
Like a jellyfish.
Yeah. Yes.
Just become a jellyfish.
Yeah. And try to land on, like, the safest place of your body to land on. For me, fortunately, I did. I landed square on my head. So that was the safest place for me.
Yep. Yeah.
If the vehicle's moving, you want to make sure that whoever's operating the vehicle understands that and doesn't. That they stop, but then they don't back up over you again.
Correct.
Lucky that wasn't the situation for me. No.
And when somebody comes and you know, slaps you in the face and just makes sure you're aware, conscious, whatever, you want to save the jokes. Because you know, do you know who you are? You don't want to say I'm the Queen of England. Mm-hmm. You don't want to say I'm Frankenstein's monster. In that,
you got to know what day it is.
Yeah, yeah, in that moment, you want to just like answer honestly, and you want to like just remember, rein it in a little bit. And now's not the time for performative art.
I got to tell you, I iced the head later on, but it was my butt that really hurt for a long time, for like 3-4 days.
For you, Raven, I was not going to say it because I was being kind, but I was like, that's probably the best place for you to fall.
I could not walk right, man. It just it hurt.
Creating a will is an awkward moment. First of all, why do they still use that old calligraphy on the paperwork? Like, it's legit, like, how you would think you would imagine it in a creepy, haunted house. It says, like, last will and testament.
That's what it is. So, what would you rather that they call it other than that?
No, it's not that. Right? It's the calligraphy they use. It looks like the Addams Family.
I mean, so what? So, if it just had bullet points up front and with a different font, you would feel better about it?
Do you know it cost me $144 to get my will notarized?
Yeah.
Do you know that not everybody notarizes will because it's too many pages? When I called, first I had a call, and every state is different, but my bank refused to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then my town hall refused to do it.
Okay.
And they said, call the USPS store. And I'm like, the USPS, whatever
the
store
postal
it is.
Postal service, right.
I called them. They were like, yeah, we do it. How many pages is it? I go, whatever a normal amount of wills.
No, everyone is different, obviously.
I didn't know. So he told me. I'm not supposed to tell anybody, but he told me that he did like really rich people's will.
The person at the post office told you this, the notary.
You're right. And they told me that it was like 100 pages long. I'm like, good news. Mine's like 8 pages tops.
Right.
At most.
Right.
And I don't even know what's in it. It's like a stock form for my lawyer that I filled out.
What was it that you think was so jarring, right? Because people don't like to talk about their own mortality.
Demise.
Like they just don't like to talk about
that.
Well,
Paul and I, my husband and I, you know, we've been married over 20 years and we met so young that it's always been in our head where if one of us goes, the other half gets everything. And both of us goes, the kids get it. But like until we started working with an actual advisor, they're like, no, you guys need a will. So we did it. And it was awkward. Do you feel like an adult now that we have a will?
We have a lot of things, not just a will. But yes.
Like what?
Power of attorney and the trust and the two other things that we did.
The one where you get to decide if I die, if I'm hooked up to something. What's that one called?
I think that's like the living power of attorney or something one.
Yes.
So if I am not doing well, but there it's like 50-50 if I'm going to make it.
50-50. Right.
Do you pull the plug on me or no?
Whatever your wishes are, so I hope you put them in your will.
I don't remember what I put. Is that bad?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I put.
Are you serious? You just filled this thing out.
I don't remember.
How can you not know now?
I mean, I don't remember. Like, how?
These are important.
How sick am I?
I mean, obviously, if you're there and you're not able to make your own decisions, you're very, very ill.
Like, I mean, at concussion? That
point, you're not gaining consciousness.
Like, ever again? I don't know. Like, well, that's why somebody else has to be in charge.
Some people believe that, you know, I mean, anything could happen. It could happen at some time, but I mean, usually it don't.
Wait, am I in charge of you if you're on life support?
I think so.
So what should I do if something happens?
Use your best judgment.
Who did we pick to get our kids? We didn't even talk about it. What if we put different people down?
I copied yours.
Paul copied my will. Whatever
you
I wrote,
you guys are terrible.
Too.
You We're just filled all this stuff out and you don't even remember half the stuff you put on there?
No. First of all, He's like, fill yours out, leave it on the dining room table, and then I'll bring it to the lawyers. And I said, okay. And then you know what he did?
He looked at yours and put the same answers.
He copied. Yeah. He copied mine like we're in seventh grade math test.
Did you provide copies to anybody else? Who did you provide those copies to? Like, you're supposed to file one with the town or your attorney.
What?
Did you provide one to anyone in your family?
No,
or
we put
tell
them,
them how to access them in one in your safe?
No, we put it in the creepy envelope, and we put it in the safe. Actually, we just ordered a new safe because we didn't really have one of those either.
Right. You had like a box.
Like a file cabinet.
You're supposed to provide a copy
94.
To somebody that you trust. Who's your power of attorney? Oh, my gosh.
We're not good at this.
What did you do?
We filled out the paperwork. We had it notarized for $144.
You may have given it all to somebody else. You can't even remember who.
Well, here's the bigger question is, who is going to pull the plug on me if me and Paul are both sick? Because I can tell you what. you just raised your hand? All right. That's coming up
next. I mean, if you need somebody.
Okay, good.
Who's going to pull your plug? It's such a weird conversation to have. My husband and I did wills for the first time. And I don't know. In my mind, it was something you only did if you had a lot of money and you were old. And they told me that's not true. Once you have like a house, you need to do it.
A lot of people think of it like when they find out that they're sick or something like that. But, you know, a lot of times you don't find out.
Right.
It just kind of happens, right? There's accidents. There's all sorts of things that can take place.
What a weird thing. So I was like, okay, so if me and you, Paul, both of us are sick, like who's going to make the decision, who's going to pull our plug?
Mm.
And I said, my mom can't do it. She can't handle it. My dad can't do it. He can't handle it. I asked my sister. She was like, I don't want that responsibility. So we asked around the office to the coworkers.
Yeah.
Anna just made her will. If she asked you to, would you be comfortable being the one to decide whether to pull the plug on her?
No. I don't think so.
A lot of people said no, and I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got to, you know, there's variables, right? A lot of things are black and white. It would be easy if they were, but there's gray areas when they're talking about, you know, it being the actual end.
Anna just made her will. If she asked you to, would you be comfortable being the one to decide whether to pull the plug on her?
Yes.
What makes you a good candidate?
The fact that I'm an only child, and I have to do that for both my parents.
Oh.
So I have no problem deciding whether or not to pull her plug.
Do you think only children are better at deciding who lives and who dies?
No. I mean, I think that like anything else that you encounter, practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he feels like he's going to have ripped the Band-Aid off before that.
That's good.
And be a little bit, like, you know, desensitized, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
Anna just made her will. If she asked you to, would you be comfortable being the one to decide whether to pull the plug on her?
Yes. Oh, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
What makes you a good candidate?
Well, I know her. I feel like I've known her for many, many years. So I would know, like, oh, she should die. Or like, oh, she seems like she's sort of okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I could talk to her family and be like, hey, we had to let her go and be like sort of nice about it. And, yeah, I think I'm a great candidate.
You would break the news to her family.
Yeah, well, someone's got to tell them, right?
I mean, someone does have to tell them, but they should also know that we're in the situation before you just pull the plug. It's not like I have my like a cold at work, and he's like, that's it, Anna, you're out.
I think
that's our
that
boss,
it's
by the way.
Very interesting that he's looking forward to informing people, because that says a lot about him.
He's going
to
send out a press release. That's our boss. He's like, there's no bad press. The day that we pull the plug on you, Anna, for having those sniffles.
Interesting scenario. Yeah, interesting scenario.
Ratings are going to go through the roof. Send an email to everybody.
Well, dead people do have good
Anna
publicists.
Anna just made her will. If she asked you to, would you be comfortable being the one to decide whether to pull the plug on her?
Mm.
Oh, absolutely. There'd be no question. If the need was there, even if it might not really be there, I would definitely do it. For her.
What makes you a good candidate?
I'm rational. Mm-hmm. I'm compassionate. And I wouldn't have to fix her problems anymore.
Ed, it is your job to fix my problems. You know that. You know that.
It's interesting that the people that I feel like you work in closest quarters with here in the building, no problem.
They're right.
They're ready to go.
Raven volunteered.
Yeah.
He's like, if you need somebody, like, I'm available to do it. I'm like, nobody asked you, Raven.
I can hide behind mercy when it comes to this.
All right.
Right.
Were you mad, sad, or glad this weekend? Were you mad, sad, or glad?
Your weekend. It's all powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains now through the 11th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Mad, sad, or glad? Producer Sophia, how was yours?
Mad.
Why are you mad?
Terrible.
Uh-oh.
Why are you mad, girl?
Why
I got
mad?
My car back after it was in the shop for 2 months, you guys. I was on the way to my grandma's house and I was bringing a bottle of rum, a handle of Captain Morgan.
For your grandmother.
For my dad.
Okay.
I was just transporting.
I was going to say, what's up with your grandma? Wow.
Listen.
Little captain in all of us, I guess, as they say.
She likes it.
I'm sure she would. Mm-hmm. I'm like 5 minutes away, and my car starts reeking of hand sanitizer. And I was like, what is that? So I look down, and I have it in this, like, I have it in a reusable grocery bag. So they're the plastic ones. Like, they're
you have
insulated.
The rum in there, not the sanitizer.
The rum.
Okay.
So I look down, and the handle is just dumping into the bag. And grab it, and I break, and it flipped over. And there was a 5-inch puddle of rum in my front seat of the car that I got back after 2 months.
Oh, my gosh.
You know you're never getting that smell out of there.
Don't get pulled over.
That's what I was thinking. And the worst part is my car broke down again. I had to send it back to the shop, and it reeked of
come
alcohol.
On. Again?
Again.
What is wrong with these people? What are they doing with your car?
I don't know.
Seriously, I'm calling you out publicly at this point. Listen, you listen to this show. You know it's her car. Fix the car already. This is ridiculous.
And clean the rum off the floor
while you're at it.
Well, I mean, that's not their responsibility, but
now
it's going to smell like that like the next 8 years of
nobody
that car.
Justin,
seriously, fix the car already.
Justin, you mad, sad, or glad?
Mad by proxy. Wasn't even me. I'm in a park, and there are carefully arranged park benches all over the place. And there was a woman there minding her business, reading a book in the park. It was lovely. It was a nice day. I'm taking a walk, and I'm just not disturbing her. Coming from the other direction are these two women who are having engaged in a loud conversation about whatever they were talking about. They're complaining about their husbands or their jobs, but they're like barking at each other, and they're just walking towards this direction. And they decide to sit, instead of anywhere else in the park, in the bench directly next to this poor woman reading her book. And 2 minutes later, if that, the woman with the book gets up, walks, gets in her car, just drives away. And I said, I feel bad for her.
See that? They ruined nature for her.
They did.
They did. They ruined nature for that person.
She was like, today's the day I finally have an hour to sit at the park by myself and read this book. Yep. And then these two ladies are going to sit here and they're going to yap and yap and yap and yap.
They could have gone anywhere else.
That's rude. Yeah.
Mad, sad, or glad, Raven?
I'm sad. I'm sad that I'm back from camping and that I still have to unload the van and all the supplies. I'm sad about that.
You know,
camping was fantastic. Had a great weekend. Really, really good. But everything is still in the van. And I don't want to do it.
I get it.
I just want to go home, take a nap. And instead, I'll be babysitting. So there's that.
I'm glad. I'm more than glad. I'm elated. My daughter, my 7-year-old, got her first communion over the weekend.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Anything you know about Dakota is that it always comes with drama. And sure enough, as I caught her eye as she was standing there in her beautiful white gown with her veil, she looked at me and she's just shaking her head. No, she's not doing it. No. She's looking. Nope. And I could see the fear. She was so scared and she was so nervous. Mm. And now I'm on my knees literally praying to Jesus.
Please, Jesus. Please. Give her the strength.
My grandmothers. I'm praying to my mother-in-law. Everybody that's up above. Mm-hmm. I'm like, please, please let her just get up there. Please don't let her embarrass me. Please let her do it.
Uh-huh.
And she did. And she did. And you know what she said?
Big relief.
It was like a snack during church. And I said, great.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, to receive the Eucharist. Oh. You got to receive the Eucharist.
Yeah, so right.
I said, whatever you got to tell yourself, baby, as long as it's done, it's done. So I am elated.
Oh.
Remember,
well, we made it.
We made it. If you ever want to share your mad, glad, or sad, you can call 1-800-330-9999.
So if you have a flight scheduled with Spirit Airlines, don't show up at the airport. There will be no one here to assist you.
It's the end of an era. End of the Spirit Airlines era, anyway. Started in 1983 under Charter Air. 1992, it changed to Spirit. 43 years is how long it made it until they made the announcement that they are done. They are out of business.
Yeah, I never really flew Spirit, but I know that there's plenty of people that do. There's some people that, you know, they really do like budget airlines and others that aren't comfortable with that. So.
Right. So I flew it once. It was fine. I was a one and done.
It was a plane.
It was a one and done. It got me to where I had to go.
Yeah.
I remember like them begging for people to give up their seats, and they got to like $1,300 in credits.
That gets a little bit uncomfortable, right? Like, I mean, at some point you're just like, we're not going to leave here, right? So, I mean, get another plane if you can.
But if you are one of the passengers that's stranded, you can go to a different airline. I know United and a few others have offered to match pricing to get you where you need to go to get you home. You do have to show proof that you had a Spirit flight booked and paid for.
Okay.
So you can't just show up and go to United and get a $200 flight somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
But emotional, though. This is one pilot when they had just found out that it was the end.
We got a notice from our union that we're going to be ceasing operations at 3 a.m. Eastern time today. Met a lot of friends along the way. over the 14 years. Had some not so great conversations occasionally.
Oh.
A lot of crazy stuff has happened, but it's funny, as we sit here, I'll speak for myself. I don't remember any of the bad times, just the good months.
I'm going to be real with you.
But you're on that flight.
Let me off that flight.
Right, get me off the
Let
flight.
Let me off that flight.
Get
if this is
flight.
What we're doing right now and we haven't pushed back from the gate right now, I got to be honest. Like, listen, and it's just a human reaction.
Yeah, of course.
You're looking around at your friends that are in the cockpit and you're thinking about the people behind you on your flight crew and you're not going to be working together after that day. And, you know, there's all the other things that come along with that, too. How you're going to provide for your family and all that. No. I'll take another flight.
Yeah,
get me
exactly.
off this plane.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree
He's volatile.
With you. Yes.
He's volatile right
Sad.
Now.
Sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. No thanks.
All right. Now we're going to take off for landing. Everybody, please buckle your seatbelts.
No, thank you. What we're going to encounter turbulence or whatever. Oh. Nope. I don't want that.
Also, trending tonight is the Met Gala. This year's theme is costume art. I never understand the theme because they come dressed however they want to come dressed, and I'm supposed to figure out, like, subliminally what they're trying to do to match the theme.
Yeah.
So that's after the museum's new exhibit. And the red carpet dress code is fashion is art. You can't just buy a ticket. Back in 1948, when they had the first Met Gala, it was like $48 to get a ticket and anybody could go. It was a fundraiser.
Okay.
And now it's like you get invited, then you still got to pay $75 grand, but they make
$75,000 to go? No, thank you.
You're not allowed
Keep
to
the
use
table.
Your phones. You're not allowed to post on social media. There's a million rules. Now, the co-chairs this year are Beyonce, Nicole Kidman, Venus Williams, and Anna Wintour.
They all sound wonderful.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
And then there's the honorary co-chairs is Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez. And I think they just let them be part of it because they're the biggest financial sponsor of the event.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right. Like, rename the street after them that night or something.
And the big question I have when you look at all these people wearing all these costumes and these outfits is how do they go to the bathroom? How do you take... I know...
With assistance, I'm guessing.
And how small will they make Kim Kardashian's waist this year? Nah. Essentially, is that what it comes down to?
Yeah, well, enjoy the party. I'm sure there's nothing there that I would wear. There's nothing there that I would wear.
Oh, well, maybe. When somebody comes in a cape, you love capes.
I do like capes, but I mean, yeah.
It's time for a round of Happy Hour Happenings with Anna and Raven.
Every week, producer Sophia goes out to the bars for Happy Hour and simply asks people what they're up to.
Happy Hour Happenings. What happened to you this week?
I went on an amphibious motor vehicle tour, and I drank like a beer and a coffee and then another beer, and then I also had to pee really bad, and then I went on this hour and a half tour and I couldn't get off the bus and I had to pee so bad and everyone thought I was gonna die, and then I ran to the men's room because I really had to go to the men's room. So
where were you?
San Diego. That was this week. I'm ashamed.
She sounds jacked up.
Yeah. The speed at which she was talking was intimidating me.
Yeah.
I have a bigger question.
Yeah.
I went on an amphibious motor vehicle tour.
Is like a duck tour? Is that what you're talking about?
One of those duck vehicles there could be.
Right.
Yep. Sounds like one of those. I didn't know that they were doing those in San Diego, but okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right.
I went to one of those once. It was very fun. But you know, it's funny. I was just looking up boat tours, and the first thing I look at is how long it is and if there's a bathroom on board. Because we did a tiki boat one time.
Yeah.
Lovely. Well, I had a great time with my girlfriends. Here's a problem with tiki boats. No bathroom. You know what you're doing? You're drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to really think about that when you're in a situation. And you're not like in a bathing suit where you can just go for a dip. Like you're in like a cocktail dress.
Revealing thing about me, I don't love booze cruises in general.
Well,
right? Like,
cruises,
you know, the tropical thing is more. Listen, you're going a tiki thing or whatever, that's a booze cruise. Tell me whatever you want to.
It's classier.
It's classier. It's the same thing. A booze cruise could happen on a catamaran or whatever. Very classy boat, Anna. It's not a classification of ship. It's what you're going to be doing. And
all
if you're going to be out on a boat drinking, like for me, that doesn't do it for me at all.
Tiki sunrise drinking thing.
Oh, yeah. It sounds
different.
So classy.
It's so much classier than
so classy.
Booze cruise.
You, Princess Di, Oprah, right. Yep.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Come to Happy Hour Happenings. What happened to you this week? So, I was watching High School Musical in my bedroom, and my best friend and I were singing along to the music, and then our 13-year-old neighbors in the room next door started banging on the walls like they wanted us to quiet down. And so we were quiet for a second, and then every time we would start singing again, they would start banging on the walls again, and we don't know what to do about them. I pay $900. We pay $900 a month each for rent, and we can't sing in our own house?
Kids called you out, man. It's a little bit embarrassing, right, for them. right?
Do you think 13-year-olds don't even know about High School Musical yet?
No,
that's
they don't.
What I was thinking. How much do you know about High School Musical? It came out like 10 years after you were born.
This isn't about noise. This is about embarrassment. That's what this is.
They're embarrassed that they don't want them to sing.
No, those kids, right. Those kids are like, nope, cut that out, Boomer. Right.
But if the shoe was on the other foot, though,
yeah.
and they were blasting music, mm-hmm. you would also say, we pay $900 each a month, and we would deserve it to be quiet. It's really a no-win situation is what it comes down
to. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Never quite understood why Nurse Appreciation Week and Teacher Appreciation Week is the same week. They seem like very big professions for each of them to have to share a week. They should each have their own.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, now that they have those websites that you can just sign up for national holidays left and right here, like scheduling becomes an issue sooner or later.
Right. Yeah. So you think Taco Tuesday week didn't deserve to take over?
No, it gets its own day, but it has to share it. That's all I'm saying is the space can't only be yours.
And the one thing that everybody agrees on is that teachers and nurses both very much deserve our appreciation.
Mm.
And you can actually call 1-800-330-9999 if you're a teacher or a nurse and tell us something special you do that most people don't even realize that you do it that earns your appreciation. But Raven, who do you want to give a shout out to?
Well, you know, I would just say in general, all nurses, because for me, you know, the thing is anytime that you have a procedure or whatever, like these people take incredible care of you. They really make you get through a process. But whether it's the way your mind works or whatever, once you leave that place, you almost kind of like forget them. Right. You lock out the names or whatever. You don't see the faces and you always mean to follow up and give a good review or whatever, but you forget.
Yeah.
So they're just wonderful people. And then fourth grade, Mr. Atkinson, who when he would chew gum, it looked like the sides of his heads would explode.
Okay.
He was scary, but he also taught me a bit about discipline and control.
Sophia and Justin, I'm sure you've had some nurses and teachers in your lifetime that you want to give a shout out to. Justin, how about you?
Well, first, my mother was a teacher for over 30 years, so that's the obvious answer, of course.
Thanks, Mom.
Yes, thanks, Mom. She taught me, school notwithstanding, everything that I probably know right now in
life. Did she write your college essay? Is that why you got into Bucknell?
No, she made me write my own. She taught me to be self-sufficient, so she instilled in me a lifetime of learning, and not just book reading and all that, but, you know, all the life skills.
Did you go to school with your mom when your mom was a teacher?
She was student teaching when I first started out, so I had her for a couple years, but then once she went to full time, she went to a different school. Didn't overlap after that.
Did it make you the cool kid or the dork kid?
I was young enough where it was still okay.
Cool.
Yeah. So it wasn't awkward at that point.
Yeah. Sophia, how about you? Who you want to give a shout out to?
I had a professor in college, Professor Barnes, changed my life. Taught me, I think, everything that I know today. Like, just the way he taught, he was relatable. He was funny. He had a connection with like every student. And like that will like stick with me. I took him 3 times in college because I learned so much from him.
Yeah.
He was the best.
I want to give a special shout out to the maternity nurses and the NICU nurses because all nurses are incredible, obviously. But Raven and I had some time in a children's hospital lately where we visited a NICU that had the tiniest babies I had ever seen in my entire life.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
I honestly, you know, we had that discussion while we were there. It takes a special kind of person and a real fortitude in those people to show up every single day, and they care so much.
I broke a record at the hospital where I delivered my girls because I had to be recathered after I had my C-section because I couldn't go to the bathroom on my own. And when I tell you that the nurses were literally in there the second time holding my hand so that they didn't have to do it again for a second time, I mean, all the power to them, that's for sure. All right, nurses and teachers, what do you do that deserves appreciation that the average person doesn't know you do it? 1-800-330-9999. Nurses and teachers, what do you do that deserves appreciation that the average person doesn't know you do it?
It's National Appreciation Week for both these great professions, so we figured let's shout out some people that have had an impact on your life.
1-800-330-9999. Daphne. It's Teacher and Nurse Appreciation Week. Which one are you?
Teacher.
All right. All right, teacher. Yes. Tell us a reason why people should appreciate you.
Because we are your children's parent for 8 to 9 to 10 hours if they're in after school, before school care. Their children listen to us before they listen to their parents. I've had parents to call me at home to say, can you tell Johnny to do his homework because he's not listening to me? Appreciate your teachers. Love on your teachers because we have to put up with your children, I believe, more than you do.
I used to use the threat. Or I'm going to call Mrs. whatever the teacher was at that time
but
all the time.
But if you could.
Oh, yeah. Just to say it, because then they would immediately snap. I always feel bad for the parents of the kids that misbehave in school because, you know, that stinks. It's embarrassing for you. But the best thing I ever had was that if my girls rebelled, it was at home. It was never at school for the most part. And that was good because you don't want to mess around with a teacher.
I was consistent. I rebelled everywhere.
Good.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Thanks for being a good teacher. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Darren, how about you? Are you a teacher or a nurse?
Hey, guys. I'm a nurse, and I find a lot of joy in just helping people through oftentimes just the mental aspects of what's going on. Having that moment relationship with people and families while they're trying to dissect what the doctor just explained or understand how they're going to take care of their loved ones at home. Yeah, I just want to share that because I think it's something that's not often thought of when you think of a nurse.
I do think that you save questions for your nurse when you don't 100% understand the doctor.
Well,
you're
still, a doctor comes in and tells you what's what, right? And then you're digesting that information. And a lot of times you haven't even formed the questions by the time they're like, listen, if there's anything I can help with or whatever, the nurse explains to you, this is what's going to happen next.
Right.
When you go home and you're this or they are this, you're going to do this, right? They give you the practical knowledge and the practical instructions on what you're going to do next. You know, as humans, like, that's how you take the next step. Because if not, a lot of us would be frozen in situations, right? Happens in the worst situations with all sorts of different types of professions. Hey, Nicole, are you a teacher or a nurse?
I am a teacher, a preschool teacher.
Well, we certainly appreciate you, preschool. That's not easy. How many kids are you typically taking care of on a daily basis?
13.
Oh, boy. Preschoolers. Okay. So what's something that most people wouldn't know that you're just taking care of?
I have a 4-year-old of my own.
Oh, okay. Are they in your class, too?
Not in my class, thank goodness.
Okay. So what's something that people should appreciate that they might not even be aware of that you're taking care of every day for them?
Absolutely. You know, there's so much time that's spent behind the scenes, like weekend work, you know, doing weekly reports, lesson planning. And honestly, sometimes putting your preschool, your own children that you're teaching over your own very own children.
Right. Right. It's no question. You know, you can have an escape there.
Yeah.
And it creates all sorts of space in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? You love the kids.
Well, you'd have to, right? Because some of those days, they are long. Thanks for being with us. Good luck today.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court. Powered by Progressive Commercial Insurance, it can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. Janet and John. Janet, what happened?
So John and I had been engaged for 7 years, and we finally got married. We had planned it pretty far in advance. It was pretty expensive. And the day before, John's brother canceled, and basically, I called him, and he's been really flaky, and I basically said, I don't want to see you again. I just don't want that in my family. I don't want that kind of disrespect, and the brother wants his money back. He gave us a gift of $400, and he wants his money back, but that doesn't even cover the expense of having the brother attend the wedding, and we didn't invite someone else. I don't think we should give the money back.
Well, obviously, you guys had a conversation that escalated to all sorts of ugly. John, what happened? What's your side of this? What's up with your brother?
Why didn't he come to your wedding? Well, why would you cancel on a wedding?
My brother, he's a realtor. He gets calls on demand to show properties, and it's a very unpredictable kind of an industry. Everyone in my family knows about this as well, and we're very open to his schedule. He was supposed to be there in my wedding party. He found out the day before he needed to show these two properties, and we completely understand that, you know, he has a flexible schedule, and it's not easy in this industry as well. You get those calls, you got to be there. He was saying that, you know, the client was looking to spend a lot and he needed that sale as well. So I was like, okay, we completely understand. And then my wife, she told me, you know, you can't, this was unacceptable. She told that to my brother and to never speak to us again. So he asked if he could get the $400 that he put in our gift card, if he could get it back. I just said, you know, give it. It's completely understandable. If he wasn't there, just give it. It's totally fine.
So you tend to agree with your brother. This is not a bother to you. Number one, you're not all that upset that he dropped out of your wedding party to show two properties the day of your wedding. And number two, you don't care about the money. You just want to give him back the money and all is well and good and all that.
Pretty much. Like, let's just get over this. It's a small issue. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, I think it is. So your wife.
I mean, they were engaged 7 years. I mean, the wedding wasn't like a surprise or a last-minute thing. It was well planned out in advance. I can't imagine. Maybe if it's like your second cousin, you show up late, you go do the showing.
I mean, maybe if it's a $5 million property.
Right.
If it's a regular house, you got to get somebody else that day.
I don't know.
I mean, I've got plans. It's been in the calendar. As somebody that's worked for people and somebody that's had people work for me, you might not love it when an employee tells you they're just not open or available. On the other hand, when somebody tells me they're doing something with their family, take care of your family first. That's what I always say.
Right, but is Janet wrong to be like, I'm not giving you back your $400 out of spite?
To be like, I never want to see you or talk to you again, that's something too, Janet. I don't think that you call your in-law up under any circumstances and say that. If anything, if you're displeased, you let John have that conversation. But
I don't think John cares. I think he's like, whatever. He didn't know. Some people are so laid back like that. But let's see what the audience has to say. One, should they give back the brother who's asked for the money now that Janet says don't speak to us ever again? And two, should John have an issue with his brother for bailing on his wedding?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
He's a realtor. That's why he missed the wedding.
Apparently, he must do brain surgery when he's showing these houses too, right? It's life and death stuff, that's for sure.
Janet and John have been engaged for 7 years. They had their wedding, and the day before their wedding, John's brother, who's also in the bridal party, said they wasn't going to be able to make it because he got a big call to show a bunch of properties on the day of the wedding. Janet got so mad that she called him afterwards and said that they never wanted to speak to him again. And he said, well, then give me back my check. Give me back my gift.
Yeah. You know what? There's no world whatsoever that exists that I would be like, oh, yeah, let me dig through these cards or your check right now and make sure that you get your $400 back. I mean, the fact that he called up the day before is completely disrespectful. So at that point, all bets are off in my regard. At the same time, I don't think it's okay that, you know, you make decisions permanently without discussing something with your partner.
And, well, John said, what's the big deal? Like, this is my brother. This is how he is. If he didn't come, he didn't come. Like, what are we going to do? That's his job.
Yeah.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Mike, whose side are you on?
I'm kind of on the wife's side. You don't give it back because you had to drop out. But at the same time, I mean, never wanting to speak to somebody again is a little bit harsh. I think she needs to have a conversation with her husband, though, because he's a little too relaxed about this. Mm-hmm. Going forward in the future, I would say don't invite him, since he can't give you a yes or a no on things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think I've ever said in my life, I mean, maybe once or twice, that I don't ever want to talk to somebody again. It's got to be something pretty extreme and pretty personal. However, when you're planning your wedding, you put so much into that day. I mean, for a lot of people, that is extremely personal. So,
I mean, you never forget the people that didn't show up to your wedding.
But I would never speak that way to any of my in-laws unless they had disrespected my spouse like that.
Right.
Unless they had done
it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. If your brother-in-law didn't show up to your wedding because he got called to show houses last minute, he's a realtor. How would you feel about that? I can tell you how Janet feels about that. She's mad.
Yeah.
She's big mad. Her brother-in-law, the day before their wedding, called and said he couldn't do it. He couldn't show up. He got called to show many houses. He had to do it. He had to work. And now she got so mad she yelled at him, said, never speak to us again. He said, fine, give me back my envelope with $400 in it.
Yeah. John says, listen, it's no big deal. Let's just give him his money. And, you know, I mean, he's got a job. And, you know, all of us in our family, we understand that, you know, sometimes his schedule is flexible and all that stuff. Listen, man, you planned for a wedding for a long time. Janet has a reason to be offended. They included him in their planning. And when he's gone, that creates a void that's there in the wedding party, in the photos, in the planning for the day, in the operation of all those events of that day, right? She was upset. She called him up and said, okay, you don't want to be here for that? Stay out of our lives.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Tarika.
I completely agree with the wife. I find it disrespectful of the brother to call the day before, and then it's even more disrespectful to call and say that he wants his money back when he should have been like, you know what, keep the money because I last minute canceled on your wedding. And I think she's acting out of hurt. They expected him to be in photos and share these memories with him, and he didn't care.
Right.
And he didn't care to cancel on his job.
It tells you where you are on the priority pecking order. And
that's for sure.
Yeah, that's real. Exactly. I mean, you had plenty of notice. Thanks for the call. That's why there's a save a date. That's why there's an invite. That's why they tell you way ahead of time. If you're the brother, you know.
Hi, Gerard. Whose side are you on?
Our side. But I would give him back the money and just say, dude, that's it. I don't have to talk to you. Your own brother can talk to you. I hate negative people. And look, he was only given a $400 gift. So you obviously he wasn't showing any mansions.
Right.
Sure. Yeah,
that's a very good point. Thanks, Gerard.
Okay, $400 gift. $400 gift. That's a bar tab at Miller's. So there you go.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Janet, our audience agreed with you. It's messed up what his brother did. You're not in the wrong for keeping the money. You're not in the wrong for calling and accusing him and telling him you never want to see him again. And John, you should be more concerned. Your brother basically backstabbed you.
I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't care about this, but I just feel like, you know, we're making too much of an issue. And we've already talked about the fact that, you know, he's building his career through this, you know, he's still building his way up. So I completely understand, like, you know, even if it was me, you know, putting myself in his shoes, and it's, I'd kind of do the same thing too.
I don't know. So the voters don't agree. Janet, I'm not going to agree with everything that transpired here. I think, number one, you absolutely have a reason to be upset. And I would most certainly keep the money. Who cares? You know what I mean? That's just petty yeah. nonsense when we're talking about $400. But I also am not great with the fact that you called his brother up and said, I never want to see you again. I don't think that was the way to handle it. And I certainly wouldn't appreciate that from my partner. So I think that you guys need to discuss these actions in the future when you're going. But right now, the voters said, hey, listen, you're entitled. So, I mean, I hope you feel validated.
I do. I really do. I mean, $400, like.
Yeah, whatever. It's not the point. I wouldn't send it back to him either. I wouldn't do it.
I would.
Thank you.
Take your money and get out of my life.
Choke on it.
Yeah.
But this is your family. And inevitably, my hope is, Janet, at some point, you're going to talk to your brother-in-law again. But he should be apologizing as well.
Is he young? That's an important
like, how young?
No,
he's 35.
Oh, okay. No, then he gets no pass.
Yeah, right.
No pass whatsoever, John. Right. You make too many excuses for your brother.
Yeah. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$100 is a jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Linda, you ready to play?
I'm as ready as ever.
All right, great. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Linda.
Thank you.
Okay. Here we go. That door is going to close, and Raven's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Linda, I'm going to ask you these 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Let's go.
Okay, number one, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was pulled over in Hollywood after attending an event. The reports are that it was because the tint of his windows were too dark. He voices what character in the Disney Moana movie?
Oh, my God. My daughter's going to kill me. Crunk.
Number 2, a Chick-fil-A worker was charged with stealing $80,000 worth of mac and cheese. Chick-fil-A is famously closed on what day?
Sunday.
Number 3, Ellen DeGeneres will once again voice the bluefish originally from Finding Nemo. What character is that?
Dory.
Number 4, the Met Gala is tonight. What year was the first year of the Met Gala?
This is a long shot. 1982.
Oh, I just said it a few minutes ago on the air. All right, number 5, it's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Which bounty hunter captured Han Solo and brought him to Jabba the Hutt?
I'm just going to say Luke Skywalker. I'm not a Star Wars person.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
2 out of 5 for Linda.
Not great. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Not great at all.
Number 1, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was pulled over in Hollywood after attending an event. Reports are because the tint on his cars were too dark.
Yeah, whatever.
He voices what character in the Disney Moana movies?
He's Maui.
Yes. Number 2, Chick-fil-A worker was charged with stealing $80,000 worth of mac and cheese.
The mac and cheese is good.
But where are you going to put it?
That's a lot of mac and cheese.
You know what? If it's not made yet, right? Like, you just put it in the back. You got mac and cheese every day for months.
Chick-fil-A is famously closed on what day?
Sundays.
Yep. Number three, Ellen DeGeneres will once again voice the bluefish, originally from Finding Nemo. What character is that?
Does that mean there's another Nemo or another Dory? That's Dory.
Yes. Yeah. Number four, Met Gala is tonight. What year was the first year of the Met Gala? See if you remember.
You just said it. 1948, was it?
Yes.
No.
Number
five,
it's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Which bounty hunter captured Han Solo and brought him to Jabba the Hutt?
Boba Fett, and may the 4th be with you.
Thank you. All right, Linda, 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm Linda, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $200 when the game returns next week, Monday. We're going to take a break over the next few days.
Raven's brain needs a break. But in the meantime, remember, you could always sign up to play at annaandraven.com. And if you ever have an idea for a question, too, I appreciate the help. You can submit it there as well.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.